It's good to see you all here this evening. It is my great pleasure to introduce to you Corey Smith. If you haven't had a chance to get to know him, please find a way. He is a good friend of mine since you were a student here in 2008 when you came as a freshman. So ever since then, and he's just a huge blessing in my life. Can I pray for you?
I would love it.
God, I thank you for Corey, and I thank you for how he demonstrates your love in his day-to-day life to just anybody who really crosses his path. And I thank you for the word that you've given him tonight and what you want to teach us and speak into our community. So we do come receptive to you, God, and what you have to say. And we just bless Corey in this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hello, everybody. How's it going? Good. Come on. All right. You're going to wake up tonight, isn't it? Hi, Melanie. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Cool. I'm actually a little bit sick tonight, but I'm going to pretend like I'm not. So we're just going to see what happens with that. All right. So I've been around here for a while. Some of you may not know me. My name's Corey. I do some stuff with leadership development, both through the university and the Brethren National Office. Which is right across the street. If you guys didn't know that, it's right over there. Another thing you guys might not know is I'm married to a beautiful woman named Lydia. Can you stand up real quick? Guys, this is my wife, Lydia. Doesn't she look awesome? She's wearing stuff from Be Humble. That's where she works at. It's a boutique right over there. Just a little free ad for your business. So Lydia and I have been married for about 9 months now, so we're about 3/4 of the way through our first year of marriage. Come on, guys. Jeez. You guys are asleep tonight. So yeah, we're making every minute of it. We're just getting to that point where we're like right on the barrier of like coming out of the honeymoon stage. Like we're starting to realize like, oh, like we're annoying each other sometimes. But still, we really love each other a lot, so it's great. We have fun times. Even the fights are fun. It's interesting because I'm an external processor, but Lydia is an internal processor. And so the way this, it actually works out in my favor a lot. Because usually the way it works is I'll just say a thing that's stupid, and then I'll say, oh, sorry, I'm just processing through it. I didn't really mean that. Backtrack. But on her side then, she'll have just thought through everything that she wants to say, and then she says it in like 3 sentences, and she's just done. And I'm like, oh, well, that was easy. Cool. Great. Win-win for me on both ends, right? It doesn't work that way for her, though. I'm sorry that you married me. It hasn't always been that easy, though. When we first started dating, it was kind of awkward a few times. There was one time specifically, we went on this really awesome date. We had went to a movie or something, had dinner. It was just a really great night. We were driving back from Mansfield, and we were on 42, and I just remember it was like dead silent. I was like, what did I do wrong? And finally, I was like, so, how you doing? She's like, good. Doing great. Meanwhile, I'm looking at the road, so I can't see her face. I can't see that she's smiling this whole time. I'm like, what's she thinking about? She's like, I'm just replaying all the memories of like everything that we experienced tonight, all the cool stuff. I was like, well, can you do that out loud, maybe? And then we can both share it. That'd be great, right? Now, I tell that story because we're in this series about how God speaks to us, right? And I was thinking about that and how a lot of times I think we get in these moments where it's like we're just so busy staring down the road that we can't see that God's just sitting there smiling, right? He's just having a good time. And he's like, he's trying to communicate things to us, but maybe not in a way that we're really ready to hear at the moment. How flippin' amazing is it that God speaks to us in the first place, right? Isn't that an awesome, amazing, amazing thing? There have been and are many other religions and cultures in the world that worship gods that are like distant and angry or unpredictable. Some people believe there isn't even a god or that he's just like some impersonal creative force. There are some Christians even that view God being so transcendent and holy that it's like ridiculous, the thought that we could have any sort of relationship with him. But the pages of scripture tell us something that's like crazy different. First, God speaks. He speaks a word that creates order out of life and chaos. He creates life and order out of chaos and darkness. God speaks and he makes us and he calls us good. God speaks and he makes covenants with people, making an effort to restore relationship with us when we're broken and rebellious. God speaks and he gives instruction so that his people can know exactly where they stand before him. There's no second guessing. There's no confusion. God speaks and he articulates his anger. Read the prophets sometime. Like, it's crazy. He speaks and he articulates his anger. He doesn't just fume silently, hoping that we'll get the hint. He says how he's feeling and what he's going to do about it, but he also never neglects to extend hope and forgiveness and mercy. God speaks and he brings comfort and he draws near. God speaks and his word is made flesh in Jesus. God speaks, period. There's no radio silence. He has spoken, he is speaking, and he will continue to speak. And that is good news. If nothing else from tonight, take that away, that God speaks to us. Even in the times when it seems like he's not there, it seems like he's distant, God desires to have relationship with us and to speak with us. The only real confusion for us is how to listen, right? So, last week, Mallory talked to us about some of the crazy different ways that God has spoken to us. She mentioned some things with, like, burning bushes and speaking to us through donkeys and all the different things that have happened through Scripture. This week, we're going to delve into two kind of central avenues that God uses to speak to us, and that's what we call Word and Spirit. Just simply, it's Scripture and the Holy Spirit. Now, most of us who are in here tonight would probably say that we believe in these two things, right? We believe in the written Word of Scripture, and we believe in the leading of the Holy Spirit, and that we should have them in some sort of appropriate balance, right? But the reality is, most of those same people in here of us know very little about what the Bible actually says, or scarcely have any real idea of what it means to, like, hear and obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Can we just kind of all, like, who has ever felt confused about either of those things? Okay, good. We're all in good company, right? Like, we're all, it's okay. So tonight I want to talk about these two things. Now, I'm brethren. For some of you, that might not mean anything. But what it means to me is that I come from a tradition that has some helpful language to talk about these things that I want to share with you guys tonight. So we have Scripture and Holy Spirit. Let's go back to that one. And we call them the outer word and the inner word. I'm going to explain those a little bit for you right now. So let's go to the outer word. So when we talk about Scripture, here's two verses that just kind of explain things. We say, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light unto my path. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. A few things about this. First, really? All Scripture? Have you guys ever read Scripture and been like, how is that, like, encouraging, right? You guys ever read any weird stuff in Scripture? There's some weird things that are in there. There's one story about this prophet named Elijah and some kids, like insulting him, and so he gets really mad, and so he calls, like, a bear to come attack them. It's a weird story. It's a weird thing, right? Weird things happen in Scripture. And you also wonder, like, what Scripture is Paul talking about here? Because is he talking about just the Old Testament or the New Testament? It's kind of confusing. But the point that we get from all this is that Scripture, the written Word of God that we have here, is like this compilation of these real stories from these real people who have had a real relationship with the real and living God, right? And they've recorded them here. This is our sort of just journal of everything that God has done with his people, right? And we have it, and we can see how God has worked throughout history to train and to equip his people, to bring them through this sweeping story of redemption and restoration and justice and mercy and forgiveness. So as we encounter the pages of Scripture, all of these things happen, right? As we learn about the things that God's people learned about, it does this work in us. So that's the outer word. Then the inner word is the Holy Spirit. In John 16:13, Jesus here is talking to the disciples. He's actually talking to them about when he's going to die and then be raised again, and then he's going to go away, and they don't understand any of it. But he's saying, don't worry. When this happens, I'm going to send a helper, the Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And then Galatians, Paul is talking to the church in Galatians, and he is telling them about the fruits of the Spirit. That it's love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified in the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so we have this inner witness, God's character, able to live within us because of what Jesus has done. Earlier in that John passage, actually, Jesus says something that, I got to be honest, I'm still confused about. In verse 7, in chapter 16, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." I was just talking to my wife about that before I came up here. There's some things I still don't understand about Scripture, about like the Holy Spirit, about what God's doing. But you hear that from Jesus, and you think about, he's been walking with these guys for like 3 years, right? And he's telling them he's about to go away, and it's somehow better for them that he's not right there, like physically in his presence, or in their presence. And that's just, it's weird to me. I don't understand it. It seems like it would be better for him to be there than to not be there, right? But what we can kind of see from what he's saying is that he's going to send, because of this, because of everything he's going to be doing and reconciling us to himself, that he's sending the Holy Spirit as an advocate and a helper that's going to live within us and actually help us to become better than we were. That it's going to complete this transformative work within us that we couldn't do just the way that it was before. Now, here's the kicker with these two things. These both sound really awesome, right? We have this book, this written record of everything that God has done. And we have this Spirit who's going to help us to do some even more amazing things. And yet, it's possible to be an expert at both of those things and to still miss the point. We see in James, it says, James is talking and he says, "You believe that there is one God." That's a good thing. But even the demons believe that, and they shudder. Like, you could know all of the things, right? You could know God, like, you know, all the right doctrine, all the right beliefs and everything, and you can still, like, have it wrong somehow. On the other side, Jesus is talking, and he says, you know, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?'" That sounds like a pretty impressive rap sheet, right? Like, that's doing some pretty cool stuff in the power of the Holy Spirit. "But then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" We can know all the right things, we can do all the amazing things, and still not know Jesus. The inner and outer word are really only important in as much as they point us to, here's the really awesome part, the living word. The most profound truth and mystery of our faith is that the Word of God is in fact a person. It's not a book. It's not like some inner feeling or like of our conscience or something within us. The Word of God, the truth of God, is a person. It's Jesus. And all of that profound truth and mystery and all the goodness that's in that. We see in these scriptures below, both Scripture and the Holy Spirit testify to the living word. They give witness to that. It says, in beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus was explaining to some of the disciples after the resurrection. He explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. And in John 15:26, it says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." And we're going to read a little bit later here some more in John 1. But here are just some excerpts here. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." It's all about Jesus, right? Isn't that awesome? Everything is about Jesus. Christ is the source, and he's the meaning of all Scripture. Christ is in one and the same nature with the Holy Spirit, and the purpose and goal of Scripture and the Spirit is to produce Christ-likeness. So it begins with Christ, and it ends with Christ, right? Isn't that amazing? I wanted to share with you this one other thing. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and they're asking about his credentials as an apostle. And he's like, you know what? If you need a letter of recommendation, it's you. He says, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Paul's getting at a thing here that the point of God's work in us and the mark of the authority is what the Spirit produces through us and through the ministry. There's a really awesome poem that I like. This is, again, from some of the Brethren writings, and it's called A Humble Gleam. It says, all the words of Christ and his Spirit must be so read and considered and believed that they shall all gradually change into the reader himself. This is so that the entire New Testament is written into the heart of the reader by the finger of God until the entire life of the reader becomes a living letter of God in which one can read all the commandments of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That's awesome. There's this pastor that I like. His name is Shane Hipps. He wrote an interesting book called Flickering Pixels. It has some of the same subject matter of what we're talking about tonight. But what's really interesting about Shane is he started out his career working in marketing and advertising for Porsche. And then he became a Mennonite pastor. You know, like standard vocational arc, right? That's just like the next step right after that, all right? Now, the book has a lot of really interesting things to say. Mostly what he's talking about is the mediums that we use to communicate our message to people. A lot of times we operate under the assumption that the mediums may change, but the message stays the same. And he actually argues the opposite. He says, we know this from research about the way that like television works and all these different things, that literally like taking in pixels from things shapes different neural pathways in your brain so that the medium that you use actually does change the message that you receive. And so kind of his main point in all this in his book is just for us to think critically about the way that we use like new technology and different mediums to communicate the gospel, because they can subtly change the ways, the message that we're trying to give in ways that we're not aware of. But there's one really huge takeaway in the book that I got that came from this question. If the medium is so important to the content of the message, what is God's preferred medium of communication? Any thoughts? It's not the written word. If this was just God's preferred medium of communication, then I feel like Jesus probably would have just spent his entire 33 years, or however long he was literate, writing just furiously, right? He would have just been writing all the things that we ever need to know. It wasn't that. It wasn't just to display Holy Spirit awesome power. Like, Jesus did miracles and stuff, but if that was the point, if that was his preferred method of communication, he would have been doing that all the time. And he didn't, right? There was actually several times in which crowds were trying to come to him and ask him, like, prove yourself, prove that you're the Messiah. And he would say, no, I'm not having any of that. No. He would only do it when it really mattered and would bring healing and justice for different people. He spent the majority of his time hanging out with his disciples, telling stories, teaching, and challenging them to do things like him. If we really take seriously the way that God has communicated throughout history and through Scripture and with his disciples, it seems like God's preferred method of communication, his preferred medium, is us. Right? It's his people. God made a people for himself in his likeness, and he continues to speak to them and transmit things through them. Right? The source and the meaning of his word is the person of Christ, and the ultimate goal is for his people to be transformed into Christ's likeness, to be a testimony to him. Isn't that an amazing thing? We see throughout the New Testament, too, that the early Christians, they held on to their faith and they matured in it by retelling the stories and teachings of Jesus and following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They met together, they read scripture together, they prayed together, and they discerned together where the Spirit was leading and what God was saying to them. So I actually want us to do something. I want us to practice that tonight. I'm going to invite my friend Adam up. Yeah, come on up, Adam. We're going to do something really cool tonight. So Adam is a friend of mine. He's in my small group. Adam's getting married in 10 days to this lady over here, Angie. That's going to be fun. That's applause worthy. Yeah. So they're a part of our small group, and Adam actually has a passion for this Bible reading practice called Lectio Divina, which in Latin just means divine reading. It's a method of guided Bible reading, kind of intentionally structured to make space for us to hear from the Holy Spirit to illuminate the text that's in front of us. So I'll let him explain some more, and I'll just turn it over to you. Can I pray for you real quick, and then we'll do that?
I suppose.
Okay. God, I just want to thank you for speaking to us tonight, and I want to pray that you would just open the ears and hearts of everyone here tonight to be able to hear whatever it is that you want to speak through this text. I pray that you bless Adam's voice, let it be melodious and deep as he is reading for us, and just help us to explain things for us well. We pray that in your name. Amen.
Hello. Let's see. Is that about right?
That's great.
I'm going to be talking a lot, so reading a lot. All right. So as Corey said, Lectio Divina is a meditative practice that has origins that date back into the early church times. It means it's in translated from Latin. It means divine reading. It encourages the reader to use the Bible as a starting point for a conversation with God. Instead of trying to analyze a passage in the Bible, we seek to listen to the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit as we read and contemplate the Word of God. Tonight, we're going to use a group format to practice this together. We're going to break into groups of four. That's you and three other people, okay? We'll start out with just a minute of silence to clear our minds and invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So here's how this is going to work. After that minute of silence, I'm going to read a passage from the Bible. It's going to be the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Okay? Then we're going to have 3 minutes of silence. That's like silence. Like, nothing. Listen to the Holy Spirit during this time. Now, if random thoughts come pop into your head, don't worry about that. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is actually bringing those thoughts into your mind because God wants to say something to you about those issues or thoughts in your life, okay? After those 3 minutes of silence are over, we're going to have a brief period of time for each person in your group to share a single word from the passage that stood out to them, seemed especially important to them. Now, just share just that word. Okay, just that word that the Holy Spirit highlighted for you. Don't try to, like, explain it at this time. Just share the word. Because then what we're going to do is we're going to read the passage a second time. I'm going to read it. And then we're going to have 3 more minutes of silence. Okay, I encourage you to maybe read through the passage again slowly. I'm going to be using the same Bible that's in the pews with you, English Standard Version. So during the time of silence, it's also acceptable to definitely read the passage again through slowly on your own. After the second period of silence, we're going to have another brief moment of time for each person in your group to share a single phrase or verse from the passage that stood out to you. Again, just share the verse or phrase, not like an exposition about it. Because then we're going to read the passage a third time. I'll read a third time and we'll have 3 minutes of silence. Listen to the Word of God in the Spirit of God with the same attention that you might give your favorite professor or perhaps your significant other. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring thoughts or emotions up inside of you. After this third period of silence, we're going to have a longer moment of time for sharing in your groups, where each of you can share whatever it is that is on your mind or heart that God has put there. It could be anything, something that's happening right now in your life, could be something you're thinking about the passage, could be a poem, or just anything. Just share openly during that time. This is your time to say whatever. Okay? Then we'll end our time with just a brief prayer thanking God and then transition to some worship. Don't worry. I'll remind you of all these steps as we go along. So I know that's a lot. All right. So first thing is we need to get into our groups of four. That's you and three other people. Okay. I saw simmer down there. I did tell you to simmer down. Okay. A brief prayer and then a minute of silence. God, Holy Spirit, we invite you into this time to speak to us, through your word. Open our minds and our hearts. Okay. I'll read now from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. You're welcome to follow along if you want. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. 3 minutes of silence. Okay. What I want you to do now is in your groups, just share a single word that stood out to you. Okay, hopefully that was enough time for you to each say one word. So, I'll read through the passage again now. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's now a time of silence. All right. Take a moment in your groups to share with each other a phrase or maybe even a whole verse that stood out to you the most from the passage. Okay. Hopefully that was enough time. Third time through the passage. The book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So another moment of silence. Okay. Now in your groups, share whatever it is that's on your mind or on your heart that God has placed there. I'll give you more time this time. Okay. Shh. Shh. I'll just pray for us briefly now, and then we'll transition to some worship. God, we just thank you that you want to speak to us. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is in each of us and can speak to us and does speak to us. We thank you for your word, which we can use to begin that conversation now and every day. I pray that we would be listening, not just the rest of this evening, but the rest of this week, rest of this month, rest of this year, the rest of our lives, that we'd be listening to you, God, expecting you to speak, and that we would be waiting patiently in the silence if needed, or listening to other people who may have a word from you, reading your word intently, seeking truth and understanding there. We just thank you for this time. May we always be listening to you, God.